Cowden had climbed the high stall wall and had crawled across the grid to get to hers. She felt him slip in behind her. The heat of his body warmed her back, his breath hot on the nape of her neck. "What are you doing?" she asked. His mouth opened on her ear, his tongue diving. She gasped and leaned into him. Cowden's hands came around her stomach, traced her waist, traveled quickly to her thighs, holding them firmly. She pushed his hands inward and up, her mind battling and finally asserting her right to do this. She was 24, and if she did not do this kind of thing now, did not do exactly this exactly now, she never would. It was the imperative of youth. "May," he whispered, "stop thinking." "Okay. And close your eyes. Picture what I'm doing to you." His mouth was on her neck, kissing it, licking it, while his hands were busy with her skirt and panties. He eased both off her hips and to the floor and brought her to him, filling her at once. "May," he said, as she pushed herself into him, his hands holding her hips, bringing him so deep she could feel his swollen crown somewhere near her heart. "May," he said, as she held the walls on either side of them, as if holding back the rest of the world. She came, gasping, and he finished too, shuddering but silent. And immediately, they both laughed, quietly, knowing they'd done something reckless and career-threatening, and that they needed to leave. He turned her toward him and kissed her mouth, his eyes open, looking astounded and full of mischief. "Bye," he said. And she only waved, feeling his shape rise again behind her, climb the walls, and make his way out. And because he paused at the door to unlock it, and because she thought she might never see him again, May found her phone, reached over the stall wall, and took a picture, not knowing whether or not she would catch any semblance of him. When she looked at what she'd captured, it was only his right arm, from the elbow to his fingertips. The rest of him, already gone. Why lie to Annie? May asked herself, not knowing the answer, but knowing she would lie to her anyway. After composing herself in the bathroom, May had gone back to her desk and immediately, unable to control herself, had messaged Annie, who was flying somewhere to or over Europe. "Again with gray hair," she wrote. Telling Annie at all would precipitate a series of lies, big and small, and May found herself, in the minutes between when she sent the message and Annie's inevitable reply, wondering just how much to conceal and why. Finally, Annie's message came. "Must know everything now. I'm in London with some Parliament lackeys. I think one just pulled out a monocle. Give me distraction." While she decided just how much to tell Annie, May teased out details. "In a bathroom?" Annie replied immediately. "The old man? In a bathroom? Did you use the diaper changing station?" "No, in a stall. And he was vigorous." A voice behind May said her name. May turned to find Gina and her enormous, nervous smile. "You have a second?" May attempted to turn away the screen containing the dialogue with Annie, but Gina had already seen it. "You're talking to Annie?" she said. "You guys really are tight, huh?" May nodded, turned her screen, and all light left Gina's face. "Is this still a good time to explain conversion rate in retail raw?" May had forgotten entirely that Gina was supposed to come to demonstrate a new layer. "Sure," May said. "Has Annie told you about this stuff already?" Gina said, her face looking very fragile. "No," May said. "She hasn't." "She didn't tell you about conversion rate?" "No." "Or retail raw?" "No." Gina's face brightened. "Oh, okay. Good. So we'll do it now." Gina's face searched May's as if looking for the slightest sign of doubt, which Gina would take as reason to collapse entirely. "Great," May said, and Gina brightened again. "Good. Let's start with the conversion rate. This is fairly obvious anyway, but the circle would not exist and would not grow and would not be able to get closer to completing the circle if there were not actual purchases being made, actual commerce spurred. We're here to be a gateway to all the world's information, but we are supported by advertisers who hope to reach customers through us, right? Gina smiled, her large white teeth briefly overtaking her face. May was trying to concentrate, but she was thinking of Annie in her parliament meeting, who was no doubt thinking of May and Calden. And when May thought of herself and Calden, she thought of his hands on her waist, pulling her gently down onto him, her eyes closed, her mind enlarging all. Gina was still talking. But how to provoke, how to stimulate purchases, that's the conversion rate. You can zing, you could comment on and rate and highlight any product, but can you translate all this into action? Leveraging your credibility to spur action, this is crucial, okay? Now Gina was sitting next to May, her fingers on her keyboard. She brought up a complex spreadsheet. At that moment, another message from Annie arrived on May's second screen. She turned it slightly. Now I have to be the boss. You got his last name this time? May saw that Gina was reading the message too, making no pretense of doing otherwise. Go ahead, Gina said. That looks important. May reached over Gina to her keyboard and typed the lie she knew moments after leaving the bathroom she would tell Annie. Yes, I know all. Immediately, Annie's reply arrived. And his name is? Gina looked at this message. That must be so crazy to just get messages from Annie Allerton. I guess so, May said, and typed, can't tell. Gina read May's message and seemed less interested in the content of it than the fact that this back and forth was actually happening in front of her. You guys just message each other like it's no big deal? She asked. May softened the impact. Not all day. Not all day? Gina's face came alive with a tentative smile. Annie burst through. You're actually not telling me? Tell me now. Sorry, May said. Almost done. She typed, no, you'll hassle him. Send me a picture, Annie wrote. No, but I have one, May typed, executing the second lie she knew was necessary. She did have a photo of him, and once she realized she did, and that she could tell Annie this and be telling the truth without telling all of it, and that this photo, along with the white lie of knowing his actual last name, would allow her to continue with this man, Calden, who very well might be a danger to the circle, she knew she would use this second lie with Annie, and it would buy her more time to rise and fall on Calden while trying to ascertain exactly who he was and what he wanted from her. An action shot, she typed. I did a facial rec and it all connects. Thank God, Annie wrote. But you're a bitch. Gina, who had read the message, was visibly flustered. Maybe we should do this later, she said, her forehead suddenly glistening. No, sorry, May said. Go on, I'll turn the screen away. Another message appeared from Annie. While turning the screen away, May glanced at it. Did you hear the fracturing of any bones while sitting on him? Older men have bird bones, and pressure like you're talking about could be fatal. Okay, Gina said, swallowing hard. For years, lesser companies had been tracking and trying to influence the connection between online mentions, reviews, comments, ratings, and actual purchases. Circle developers have figured out a way to measure the impact of these factors, of your participation, really, and articulate it with the conversion rate. Another message appeared, but May ignored it, and Gina forged on, thrilled to have been deemed more important than Annie, even for a moment. So every purchase initiated or prompted by a recommendation you make raises your conversion rate. If your purchase or recommendation spurs 50 others to take the same action, then your CR is times 50. There are circlers with a conversion rate of times 1,200. That means an average of 1,200 people buy whatever they buy. They've accumulated enough credibility that their followers trust their recommendations implicitly and are deeply thankful for the surety in their shopping. Annie, of course, has one of the highest CRs in the circle. Just then, another droplet sounded. Gina blinked as if she'd been slapped, but continued. Okay, so your average conversion rate so far has been times 119. Not bad, But on a scale of 1 to 1,000, there's a lot of room for improvement. Below the conversion rate is your retail raw, the total gross purchase price of recommended products. So let's say you recommend a certain keychain, and 1,000 people take your recommendation. Then those 1,000 keychains, priced at $4 each, bring your retail raw to $4,000. It's just the gross retail price of the commerce you've stoked. Fun, right? May nodded. She loved the notion of actually being able to track the effect of her tastes and endorsements. Another droplet sounded. Gina seemed to be blinking back tears. She stood up. Okay, I feel like I'm invading your lunch and your friendship, so that's a conversion rate in retail raw. I know you understand it. There'll be a new screen by the end of the day to measure these scores. Gina tried to smile, but couldn't seem to lift the sides of her mouth enough to seem convincing. Oh, and the minimum expectation for high-functioning circulars is a conversion rate of x250 and a weekly retail raw of $45,000, both of which are modest goals that most circulars far exceed. And if you have questions, well, she stopped, her eyes fragile. I'm sure you can ask Annie. She turned and left. A few nights later, on a cloudless Thursday, May drove home, her first time since her father's circle insurance had taken effect. She knew her father had been feeling far better, and she was looking forward to seeing him in person, hoping, ridiculously, for some miraculous change, but knowing she would see only minor improvements. Still, her parents' voices on the phone and in texts had been ebullient. Everything's different now, they'd been saying for weeks, and had been asking to have her come celebrate. And so, looking forward to the imminent gratitude, she drove east and south, and when she arrived, her father greeted her at the door, looking far stronger and, more importantly, more confident, more like a man, the man he once was. He held out his wrist monitor and arranged it parallel to May's.
Look at us. We match. You want some vino?
Inside, the three of them arranged themselves as they always had, along the kitchen counter, and they diced and breaded, and they talked about the various ways the health of May's father had improved. Now he had his choice of doctors. Now he had no limitations on the medicines he could take. They were all covered, and there was no copay. May noticed, as they narrated the story of his recent health, that her mother was brighter, more buoyant. She was wearing short shorts.
The best thing about it, her father said, is that now your mother has whole swaths of extra time. It's all so simple. I see the doctor and the circle takes care of the rest. No middleman, no discussion.
Is that what I think it is? May said. Over the dining room table, there was a silver chandelier, though upon closer inspection, it seemed like one of Mercer's. The silver arms were actually painted antlers. May had been only passingly enthusiastic about any of his work. When they were dating, she labored for kind things to say. But this one, she genuinely liked.
It is, her mother said.
Not bad, May said.
Not bad, her father said. It's his best work, and you know it. This thing would go for $5,000 in one of those San Francisco boutiques. He gave it to us for free.
May was impressed. Why for free?
Why for free? Her mother asked.
Because he's our friend. Because he's a nice young man. And wait before you roll your eyes or come back with some witty comment.
May did wait, and after she'd passed on a half dozen unkind things she could say about Mercer and had chosen silence, she found herself feeling generous toward him. Because she no longer needed him, because she was now a crucial and measurable driver of world commerce, and because she had two men at the circle to choose from, one of them a volcanic, calligraphic enigma who climbed walls to take her from behind. She could afford to be generous toward poor Mercer, his shaggy head and grotesque fatty back.
It's really nice, May said.
Glad you think so, her mother said. You can tell him yourself in a few minutes. He's coming for dinner.
No, May said.
Please, no.
May, her father said firmly. He's coming, okay?
And she knew she couldn't argue. Instead, she poured herself a glass of red wine and, while setting the table, she downed half of it. By the time Mercer knocked and let himself in, her face was half numb and her thoughts were vague.
Hey, May,
he said, and gave her a tentative hug.
Your chandelier thing is really great, she said, and even while saying the words, she saw their effect on him, so she went further. It's really beautiful.
Thanks, he said. He looked around at May's parents as if confirming they had heard the same thing. May poured herself more wine.
It really is, May continued. I mean, I know you do good work.
And when she said this, May made sure not to look at him, knowing his eyes would doubt her.
But this is the best one you've done yet. I'm so happy that you put this much into... I'm just happy that my favorite piece of yours is in my parents' dining room.
May took out her camera and took a picture.
What are you doing? Mercer said, though he seemed pleased that she deemed it worthy of a photograph. I just wanted to take a picture. Look, she said, and showed him.
Now her parents had disappeared, no doubt thinking she wanted time alone with Mercer. They were hilarious and insane.
It looks good,
he said, staring at the photo a bit longer than May had expected. He was not, evidently, above taking pleasure and pride in his own work.
It looks incredible, she said. The wine had sent her aloft. That was very nice of you, and I know it means a lot to them, especially now. It had something very important here.
May was euphoric, and it wasn't just the wine. It was release. Her family had been released.
This place has been so dark, she said.
And for a brief moment, she and Mercer seemed to find their former footing. May, who for years had thought about Mercer with a disappointment bordering on pity, remembered now that he was capable of great work. She knew he was compassionate and very kind, even though his limited horizons had been exasperating. But now, seeing this, could she call it artwork? It was something like art, and the effect it had on the house, her faith in him was rekindled. That gave me an idea. Under the pretense that she was going to her room to change, she excused herself and hurried upstairs. But instead, sitting on her old bed, in 3 minutes, she'd posted her photo of the chandelier in 2 dozen design and home design feeds, linking to Mercer's website, which featured just his phone number and a few pictures. He hadn't updated it in years, and his email address. If he wasn't smart enough to get business for himself, she would be happy to do it for him. When she was finished, Mercer was sitting with her parents at the kitchen table, which was crowded with salad and stir-fried chicken and vegetables. Their eyes followed her down the stairs.
I called up there, her father said.
We like to eat when it's hot,
her mother added. May hadn't heard them.
Sorry, I was just... Wow, this looks good. Dad, don't you think Mercer's chandelier is awesome?
I do, and I told you, and him as much. We've been asking for one of his creations for a year now.
I just needed the right antlers, Mercer said. I hadn't gotten any really great ones in a while. He went on to explain his sourcing, how he bought antlers only from trusted collaborators, people he knew hadn't hunted the deer, or, if they had been instructed to do so by Fish and Game to curb overcrowding.
That is fascinating, her mother said. Before I forget, I want to raise a toast.
What's that?
May's phone had beeped.
Nothing, she said. But in a second, I think I'll have some good news to announce. Go on, Mom.
I was just saying that I wanted to toast having us...
Now it was Mercer's phone ringing. Sorry, he said, and maneuvered his hand outside his pants, finding the off button.
Everyone done? Her mother asked.
Sorry, Mrs. Holland, Mercer said. Go on.
But at that moment, May's phone buzzed loudly again, and when May looked to its screen, she saw that there were 37 new zings in messages.
Something you have to attend to? Her father said.
No, not yet,
May said, though she was almost too excited to wait. She was proud of Mercer, and soon she'd be able to show him something about the audience he might have outside Longfield. If there were 37 messages in the first few minutes, in 20 minutes, there would be 100. Her mother continued.
I was going to thank you, May, for all you've done to improve your father's health and my own sanity. And I wanted to toast Mercer, too, as part of our family, and to thank him for his beautiful work.
She paused, as if expecting a buzz to sound any moment.
Well, I'm just glad I got through that. Let's eat. The food's getting cold.
And they began to eat. But after a few minutes, May had heard some